This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
As America marks its 250th anniversary, we're looking back at 2.5 centuries of rebellion and liberty through the eyes of the heroes who defended it.
The whole thing about this country is freedom. If we're not careful, we could lose that.
On Medal of Honor, Stories of Courage, we bring you the defining moments of valor that went above and beyond the call of duty. Listen to Medal of Honor on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, final hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful, wonderful Wednesday, a hump day. We're done with history. We did a bunch of politics in the first hour. I'm going to do some more of that right now here in a moment. Then we'll get to the libs tearing down the rainforest, which is just hilarious to me, beyond hilarious. I just, one more word on the whole Ukraine situation, because I can't let this go without playing John Bolton. That moron who's generally been wrong about everything, this is what he said.
Well, I do think it puts some pressure on him. It complicates Putin's position a little bit. I don't think, frankly, a ceasefire is in Ukraine's interest. I think if you freeze the conflict along the existing front lines and start negotiations in Geneva or Vienna or some neutral capital that drag on and on, the ceasefire line could become a new de facto Ukraine-Russian border, which gives Russia 20% of Ukraine's territory. I think Zelensky had to agree to the ceasefire in Saudi Arabia because he needed to get U.S. military assistance, intelligence assistance turned back on. He had to try and repair the damage from the debacle in the Oval Office. So, of course, he agreed to it, and he did get the military assistance turned back on. He wants that to continue, and he'll try and leverage this against the Russians. But he's in a very dangerous and precarious position. So is Ukraine as a whole.
Look, it is dangerous. It is precarious because it's dangerous and precarious to lose a war. We just discussed the Crimean War. We finished up part three of the Crimean War. It's kind of odd that all these modern day pundits and experts act as if these things have never happened before. You've heard me scream about it. These people live in a World War II-centric world that everything, every conflict is always looked at through that lens, and surely in the end, the good guys will overcome. And historically, countries lose wars. And when they lose wars, it doesn't mean your country's over. It doesn't mean you're annihilated. It doesn't mean any of those things. That means you have to come to the negotiating table and you have to give up some things you had before because you lost the war. And look, we could go through any war in history, and that's generally how they end. We all know, or I should say you know because you listen to the show, but we know about the Third Punic War, where Rome completely annihilated Carthage. They allegedly salted the earth after they burnt the city to the ground and enslaved every living Carthaginian. Complete annihilation of Carthage. But that's so famous because, again, that's unique. In fact, it was even unique for the Punic Wars because they fought two of them beforehand. That's why that one was called the Third. And in the two beforehand, both of them, Carthage lost, and both of them involved a negotiated peace where Carthage had to give things up. It may not be what you want. It's not what I want. It's how life works. But these people just struggle with this so much. It is something to look at. Let's do some emails before we get to the vice chief of staff of the army singing music to my ears. Communists are extremely violent people in the Amazon rainforest. Hey, Jesse, I heard you talk on the show yesterday about the $2 billion the Biden administration gave to Stacey Abrams to buy energy-efficient appliances for residents in DeSoto, Georgia. I was curious, so I decided to look at the details. I love this. Their website is still active, and it breaks it all down for you. DeSoto is a tiny town of only about 214 people or 114 households. Of those households, her program bought appliances for 74 of them. Just 74 homes, this guy screams. They bought stoves, water heaters, and air conditioners. AC units can get a bit expensive, but let's say a conservative number would be $20,000 for all new appliances for each homes. And that's a very reasonable number. That's a total of just under $1.5 million. Million with the B. And he finishes it by saying, where did the other $1.998 billion go? This is military-grade fraud and theft. I am beyond disgusted. He says I can say his name, and I will. He did the work. His name is Tony. And this is how the criminal organization known as the United States government has been run for some time, but it got so much worse under Joe Biden when the communists were simply turned loose with no guidance whatsoever. That's why it got so bad under Joe Biden, worse than anything, frankly, we've ever seen before in the history of this country. We elected a president who was a cadaver. I say elected, that's putting it strongly after what happened in 2020, but we installed a president who was just old and weak and dementia-addled. He was never going to be in charge of anything. Remember the story? Remember the inside baseball story where Jen Psaki, when she was the press secretary, you know, that evil ginger, which I guess that's redundant, but you understand what I mean. When she was the press secretary, you remember that story that came out where she was frustrated because she, the press secretary, was not getting access to the president? His press secretary. You know how often Donald Trump probably meets with Caroline Leavitt? Every day. Every single day. Because she has to be his mouthpiece. The message he wants out there, she has to put out there. And so he will go over it with her. Boom, 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 boom. This is what you will say. This is what you will not say. Joe Biden's press secretary couldn't get 5 minutes with him because Joe Biden was never even close to being in charge of anything. And without Joe Biden there to mind the store, if you will, the Maoists that fill up Democrat Party politics now, they're all committed communists. They just went crazy, and the boss was never there to rein them in. I told you this story before, like what Trump has done about Trump and Sean Spicer. Sean Spicer's a good man, good friend of mine. I love Sean. And Sean told me the story about Trump lighting him up, cussing him. Sean said something, got ahead of what Donald Trump wanted out there, and the boss did what bosses do. Hey, come here, and chewed him up. You have to do that as president. But if the president is a drooling cadaver, then the animals are just going to run wild. And under Joe Biden, what we experienced was unchecked American communism. That's why the FBI chased down school board moms and labeled them domestic terrorists. That's why the federal government, remember all this stuff that we're talking about, stuff on paper, that's why the federal government just started handing billions and millions and billions and millions and billions and millions to all their Democrat friends who start some new charity. And all of a sudden, here's $20 million in taxpayer money. Naked, brazen corruption. It's why the border got opened up so fast to the point they created an app to bring in more people as fast as humanly possible with no breaks. And remember how quickly this issue got bad for Democrats poll-wise? Forget about America for a moment. It was almost immediate, if you can remember back 4 years ago. They opened up the border immediately. Crime started happening almost immediately. Everyone could notice it. Remember the story of the Haitians? 14,000 Haitians amassed at the border one day. That was a big controversy. Illegal immigration was a problem for the Biden presidency almost immediately. And they had about a month before the election before they ever did anything about it at all. It was all gas, no brakes. What we experienced for 4 years is what communism, American communism, is without anybody to put the brakes on it. And part of the reason the Democrat Party continues to free fall in popularity is the United States of America is collectively experiencing a communist rule hangover. We all woke up after 4 years of that, and everybody has a headache. They feel sick to their stomach, and they think to themselves, gosh, that was friggin' awful. These people are nut jobs. Speaking of nut jobs, let's talk about the climate nutters, because there's a hilarious story happening in the Amazon right now. Before we get to that, what do you do physically that you enjoy? Let me put it this way. What did you used to do physically that you enjoyed? Maybe it was just going for a walk. You like going for a walk? I love going for walks. I know I'm old. Maybe a run. Maybe you played racquetball. What don't you do anymore because you hurt? Because it hurts your elbow? Because your hand hurts? Because you get about a mile in and your knee starts acting up? Why don't you take care of that pain? Not mask it. That's a temporary fix. It's terrible for you. Why don't you get rid of it? Relief Factor is 100% drug-free. It's a supplement. It goes after the root cause, and the root cause is the inflammation. That inflammation can be fixed. Your body's trying to do it already. Relief Factor gives your body the support it needs. 3 weeks of it is $19.95. Relief Factor is so confident, they say, try it for 3 weeks for $19.95. You'll be back. And pretty much everybody is. Call them. A phone call away. 1-800-4-RELIEF or go to relieffactor.com. We'll be back.
Miss something?
There's a podcast.
Get it on demand wherever podcasts are found. The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a magnificent Wednesday. Yeah! And I'm reminding you that tomorrow is an Ask Dr. Jesse Thursday. So you need to get your questions emailed in right now to jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Jordan Schachtel is going to join me. He's my friend about 10 minutes from now. There was an election in Greenland. Are they going Trump's way? Are we going to end up with Greenland? That'd be hilarious. Let's talk to Jordan Schachtel about that in about 10 minutes. But I'm going to say something and I'm going to date myself. If you're old enough, you will know exactly what I'm saying. If you're younger, it's not your fault. You just didn't live through it like I did. Remember acid rain? You've heard of it, though, haven't you, Chris? Chris is too young. Hey, Corey, you're closer to my age. Remember acid rain? When we were kids? In case you're not quite old enough, we were warned about something when I was a kid. Don't think for a second this all this climate alarmism stuff is somehow new. We were warned that women using that hairspray in a can was putting a hole in the ozone layer and that we were all going to burn to death. We were warned that acid rain would fall from the skies. And that sounds really scary, doesn't it? Oh my gosh, I don't want acid raining on me. And part of the concern with acid rain back in the day was that it would destroy the Amazon rainforest. And then every single dork climate class you had or whatever, there was always some goober teacher who didn't know any better telling you that the Amazon rainforest, it is our entire world. And if this acid rain, if your mom continues to use the hairspray, The Amazon rainforest is going to disappear. The Amazon rainforest is like this sacred mecca for these climate change genocidal nutballs. I remember they even made a movie about it, a big propaganda movie with Sean Connery. What was that movie called? Medicine Man. Medicine Man. It was just horrible. And I love Sean Connery. Just the worst movie ever. It's garbage. Anyway, the saintly rainforest has been, for the entirety of my 43 years on this planet, held up as the mecca of all Mother Gaia or whatever these weirdo, hippie, Jesus-hating freaks believe in. Well, have you ever heard of the COP summits? COP 30, COP this, COP... What they are... It's, this climate scam is something else. They always hold these summits. And the summits are at various places around the globe. It's hilarious. The last one they held was in Dubai. Miraculously, they always seem to be in either tropical places or nice places, places everybody wants to visit. And these leaders from all over the world, they will meet for these summits to discuss how us peasants are going to have to do with a little bit less to save Mother Earth. Well, the next one is in a city called Belém. I don't know. I don't speak Italian or whatever they speak in Brazil, but it's a town in Brazil. Well, they decided they were a little concerned about the traffic heading into Belém. So as we speak, the climate changers are cutting a 4-lane highway right through the Amazon rainforest to ensure that traffic will be light at their climate summit. On my life, I'm not making this up. And in case you think I dug this out of some right-wing publication, it's actually the BBC, one of those filthy commie international rags, who put the story out there. And it's long, too. It's 8 miles long. 8 miles of rainforest being carved up so they can put a 4-lane highway so these genocidal commie freaks can go in there and discuss how to destroy your prosperity, destroy your freedom, and everything else. Just remember, always, always remember, there are two different divisions of communism, and there always, always, always have been. They work the same way in the Soviet Union. There are the street animals, the true believers, the morons you see gluing themselves to highways, the Black Lives Matter people, the feminists, the street animals, true believers. They believe all the lies they've been told. They're miserable. They're screaming. They're always hurting people, getting arrested, the street animals. And then there are the elites. There's the street communist scum, and then there's the elite communist scum, the John Kerrys of the world, basically everybody who attends COP 30. They'll all fly their private jets down into Brazil. They'll all have an armored car convoy taking them up the 4-lane highway through the rainforest into the lovely town of Belém, where they'll all eat steaks at their $1,000 a night hotel rooms. And they'll meet during the day with the AC set on a comfortable 66. We don't want to develop a sweat here in Brazil. And they're going to discuss all day long all the things that you, the dirty peasant, don't really need anymore. And in the end, just like it's a miracle from God, like he's rewarding them, their bank accounts will miraculously fill up from all this activism because their brothers, cousins, uncle's dog just happened to start a solar panel company that just got a $1 billion government subsidy. Remember, all you street animals who hate listen and send me the death threats and everything else, get mad at me as you want. Look, I hate you too. It's fine. I don't hate you near as much as the people you follow do. Remember that. Remember that. We'll talk to Jordan Schachtel in a moment. I bet the rainforest is pretty green. I've seen pictures. Chris, I wonder if that's where they got rough greens from. But listen. No, don't shake your head, Chris. Listen. First of all, as long as I'm talking about rough greens, I might as well say what just happened last night. My mother-in-law is in town, and she hasn't experienced Fred that much. And she actually asked, she said, Do you think maybe he might be deaf? And we had to explain to her that he's not deaf. He's stupid. He's so dumb that people think that he's missing critical physical things that a normal dog would have. But it also has made him the sweetest animal in the history of mankind. And that's why we sprinkle rough greens on Fred's food, because we want him to keep being dumb for as long as humanly possible. We adore that big fluffy idiot. Put rough greens on your dog's food so your dog can live longer. Get a free jumpstart trial bag of it at 833-33-MY-DOG or roughgreens.com/Jesse. Jordan Schachtel, next.
You're listening to The Oracle.
You're gonna love this one. It's a scream, baby.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
2026 marks the 250th anniversary of America. The soul of this country is found in the stories of those who defended it. I'm J.R. Martinez, a U.S. Army veteran. I know that true valor isn't just a word. It's a choice made in a split second. That's why I'm honored to bring you a brand new season of Medal of Honor, Stories of Courage from Pushkin Industries and iHeart Podcast. You'll fly into the heart of a rescue mission with Air Force pilot James Fleming in Vietnam.
I'm going to put you out in the middle of hell. If you have to come home, I'll bring you home. That's my duty. It's my honor.
We'll also travel back to 1926 to witness Richard Byrd's historic flight over the North Pole. These are more than just stories of combat. They are testaments to leadership, community, and the human spirit. Listen to Medal of Honor on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful Wednesday, a hump day, and joining me now, as promised, to talk about many things, including what in the heck's going on in Greenland and why should we even give a crap, is my friend Jordan Schachtel. He has a wonderful Substack called The Dossier, which I would highly recommend. Okay, Jordan, apparently they have elections in Greenland. I figured they just counted baby seals or something to figure out who wins. What's happening over there?
Hey, Jesse, thanks for having me on. So, Greenland is progressing, in my view, towards independence overall. So Greenland is a territory of Denmark and has been for quite some time, but they're kind of fed up with the idea of being part of Denmark because there's a lot of kind of woke libs there that only care about maintaining, the land as opposed to developing it. And meanwhile, the 50,000 or so people there are kind of screwed. So they haven't really done well under annexation via Denmark. So right now there's definitely an independence movement, and these right-wing parties picked up a lot of seats in their parliament in the recent election this week. So it's been a step in the right direction. It's not a leap in the full direction of becoming part of the United States, but it shows that the momentum is there. And I think that, you know, with the right negotiation tactics and perhaps offering them, you know, some development deals and some kind of autonomy, I think we can get Greenland to annexation before the end of Trump's term.
Jordan, why do we want it? I get that email a lot. I don't understand. Why do we want it? Why do we care? It's an inhospitable block of ice. And this is something Trump has been hot on for a long time. He talked about it during his first term. It's very clearly something he's serious about. Why?
For sure. So I think there's two pillars of the Greenland strategy. The first is the national security element, where we don't really want China dominating these shipping routes, these naval routes in the Arctic, and we kind of want to lock that down and, you know, bolster our partnerships with our European allies, you know, as flimsy as they sometimes get because they're insane over there. But I think it's important to, you know, control the seas in the Arctic when it comes to trade, shipping, and just national security purposes. We already have a big base there in Greenland. And secondly, you know, there's trillions of dollars of resources in Greenland. So if we're going to play empire, we should at least develop the resources in our lands, which we've been struggling to do for a while with all this wind farm solar stuff. But, you know, if you want to get back in the business of, you know, making America great again and you know, making Americans wealthier and more financially secure, a great way to do so is to annex a land with a ton of resources that we can, you know, develop.
Jordan, you mentioned the Europeans, and obviously nobody who listens to me needs any help. We're getting more and more frustrated with the EU and how they do business over there. It's actually really sad watching these historic countries be torn apart by their scumbag leaders. Are we in the middle of a realignment of the entire world? And I'm not saying, you know, America is going to be best friends with Russia or something like that. I don't think anything like that's going to happen. But are we breaking away from Europe? Are we going to go more towards our own hemisphere and kind of let them where are we right now? Because it feels like big things are shifting, or is this just a temporary Trump thing?
Yeah, Jesse, you're absolutely right. You know, the European countries, you have this giant demographic problem that's really shifting the politics of a lot of Western Europe. You have, you know, this huge Islamic immigration issue with coupled with nobody, you know, none of the Europeans having babies. So you see this fundamental shift and this embrace of leftism. So you have these two forces of leftism and Islamism. And, you know, the Secretary of State is going to have to navigate that. And where it's really fundamentally changing the way our alliance structure is. I don't think it's necessarily that we have somehow disengaged with Europe. It's really that Europe has fundamentally changed, you know, from a nation state perspective, whether it's, you know, Germany, France, UK, you know, they have very different histories, but they all have kind of the same problem that we're dealing with.
Jordan, how much, I understand we do business with rough countries, even bad countries all the time. I get that. But how close should we even bother trying to be with countries that arrest people for Facebook posts? It's not just, you know, a throwaway line that Trump likes to pull out there one time. The United States, America, as the land of the free, in my opinion, it does look bad if we're close friends with the UK, where you can be arrested for praying inside of your home if the wrong person walks by the window. That's along the same lines of getting best friends with the Kim regime. That's a no-go for me. How close should we be?
I agree with you, Jesse. I think that in terms of, you know, these Five Eyes intelligence sharing programs, we need to cut off some of these partners, because it's becoming a national security problem when they, you know, when our American companies need to change their policies and implement entirely new strategies because, you know, the UK is at war with encryption and therefore at war with freedom of speech. So, it's a big issue. Although we should try to maintain ties with these countries, we shouldn't be under any type of illusions that, you know, if we get too close to these countries, it could compromise our own security and values too. So I agree.
Jordan, I've made the argument that because the two parties, foreign policy-wise, are so far apart, domestic policy, that can be expected, but historically, the parties are not really that far apart, foreign policy-wise, because you really can't be. Then one alliance goes to crap as soon as a Democrat gets elected, and then it gets revitalized when a Republican comes back. I've maintained that countries like Israel should break away, like from us. And I really genuinely mean that. I understand the aid we've given to them, and I understand what goes back and forth. But if you're in Israel, you can't have it to where the American president craps all over you every time a Democrat gets elected. You can't do this yo-yo game. Don't you have to move on?
I agree with you. You know, the best type of partnership is when countries aren't reliant upon each other, and you know, you share these similar values, and you provide value without, you know, without any type of like subsidy relationship. You need to be even peers, and you know how the Biden administration treated Israel really handicapped them in their campaign against Hamas. And like, you know, the lesson there is that, you know, if you're Israel specifically, is you need to build out your own industrial base, like stop falling into this trap of, you know, getting welfare and then spending it on Raytheon missiles. Like, you need to build your own missiles because it's not sustainable, because the Democrats are coming in and, you know, they're more so becoming the party of Ilhan Omar and AOC than they are the party of Bill Clinton. And, you know, this applies to a lot of countries across the board, whether it's Hungary and Poland and, you know, all these countries that have very difficult spot to deal with and are dealing with this, you know, U.S. aid issue. And it's just so much better when you're not, you know, these foreign leaders have a very difficult role to maintain, especially in the age of Trump. But prior to that, you know, with Biden, when they're forcing these woke liberal policies down their throats, yeah, you know, it's great to be an ally that brings something to the table. And, you know, we want allies like that. But we also, you know, want to get, you know, there's a huge push in the U.S. rightly to get rid of the foreign aid because it just totally corrupts the relationship. So I totally agree with you.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, we sent Rahm Emanuel under Joe Biden to Japan, and he promptly tried to gay the place up, actually caused a big controversy. Jordan Schachtel, his Substack is The Dossier. Jordan, my brother, thank you. I appreciate you.
Thanks, Jesse. Appreciate it.
We have one more segment left, but don't worry. We're coming back tomorrow. Coming back tomorrow. Before we get to that, let's make sure we are caring for widows and orphans. And you know how much I owe, how much I talk about people who die during training, military training, and yes, firefighter training, cop training. It's a dangerous profession. You know, Tunnel to Towers, they care about those people too. Tunnel to Towers is out there caring for the widow who lost her husband in a training accident down at the fire station. They care for her too. The widows and orphans left behind are cared for by Tunnel to Towers, Gold Star families, fallen first responder families. Catastrophically injured veterans are getting smart homes built for them. They gave up their legs, their arms for us. Tunnel to Towers is helping. And all they've ever asked is $11 a month from us. Sign up to give it automatically. You'd never know it's gone. T2T.org. That's T, the number 2, T.org. We'll be back.
He doesn't care if you believe him, but he's right. Jesse Kelly.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, final segment of the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful, wonderful Wednesday, and we will be back tomorrow. Do not forget, for an Ask Dr. Jesse Thursday, you can get your questions emailed in now to jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Like hearing this kind of stuff from the Vice Chief of Staff of the Army.
Well, recruitment's numbers are way up. So is that a result of President Trump's election?
I think it's a combination of things, sir. I think it's the efforts, as I talked about in my opening statement, that have been being put into place for the last 18 to 24 months. But we have seen a momentum over the last couple of months that has been pretty remarkable.
I agree with General Mingus. We really took a round turn on this last year. We had 373 more sailors than we predicted to get it last year. So we had an apparatus that was aligned to try to get after this. I'll take any win to get sailors in the Navy that want to serve our country. So I don't know that I can map that to the election or not, but I'm going to ride that wave as long as I can.
Young men are finally wanting to serve the country again. And probably as important, if not more important, parents are feeling more comfortable sending their young men off to serve their country again. And that's really, really cool. Because my sons were flat out banned under the Biden presidency. No. The answer was no. You cannot do it. You're welcome to turn 18 and go defy me, but as long as you need dad's permission, the answer is no. Also, violence. Violence, when you complain about communist violence, that's fine, right? You shouldn't want people to be violent. But remember something. Complaining that a communist is violent is just as fruitless as complaining that a lion is violent. It's like complaining that a grizzly bear is violent. That's who they are. It's woven into them. It's not what they do. It's who they are. Mao said all political power comes from the barrel of a gun. It is a violent, destructive religion. And for the communist, violence is always part of it. They'll do it if they can. They mainly leave that to the street animals. And then the elite communist scum that we just talked about, they will run to the news and they will justify it and defend it at every turn.
He said today he would label violence against dealerships domestic terrorism. So just to be clear, you protest a private company, you are labeled by this administration a domestic terrorist.
Donald Trump came out and said, we're going to start going after these people like domestic terrorists, these people who are burning up cars and things like that. For her, well, that's just a protest. Oh, did you have a rock shatter your Tesla with your family inside? That's too bad. They're protesting. Of course, they're just protesting. Violence is not what the communist does. It is who he is. It's woven into these people. You cannot remove it from them. All right? All right. That's why they love abortion, too. It is. They're just anti-humans. They've been called enemies of humanity, anti-humans, whatever you want to call them. That's why they love abortion. After all, if you hate human beings, well, why wouldn't you kill babies? If you're an anti-human, killing a baby, that's honestly, that's as easy as it gets. They can't fight back. That's why they love abortion. That's why they give them out in pill form now. 64% of abortions are done in people's bathrooms at home with the abortion pill. They'll give this thing out with telehealth meetings. How do you fight against evil that's that available? Preborn is giving out free ultrasounds to these women who have made this decision. I'm going to abort my baby. That's when Preborn steps in and says, hey, how about a free ultrasound? Just an ultrasound? Just come in and listen to that heartbeat. It's a connection from God. When that mother hears that heartbeat, she stops being a scared young girl. She may still be scared and she may still be young at the end of it, but she's a mother as well. A mother. She knows that's a baby inside of her. Introduce that mother to her baby, please. $28 buys that ultrasound. Preborn.com/Jesse is where you go to give, and it's tax deductible. You give them a grand if you want. Whatever, as much as you want. I don't care. But save a baby's life. Preborn.com/Jesse. All right? All right, maybe do an email or two. Hey, Jesse, remind me of the cultural issues in Germany pre-World War II, all the cultural degeneracy stuff and the rise of the family units in Germany afterwards and how it relates to what we're seeing now. He says his name is Timmy. Well, probably too much to get into tonight, which I've done it before, but it's an unknown part of Germany. That period of time in between World War I and World War II, it saw the rise of so much horrible stuff in Germany as the ruling, as the rulers fell out of power and the economic situation got bad. And you had communists battling Nazis, all these political groups in the streets, all of them evil. Virtually all of them were evil and horrible, battling each other. And the degeneracy of German culture. Did you think this tranny stuff is just American? They had clubs and stuff like that back in Berlin in the day. And traditional Germans watching their society turn into Sodom and Gomorrah, it was part of what Hitler and the Nazis used to rise to power. Remember, every evil group will use the traditions of your country and wear it like a skin suit to pretend as if they are the vanguard of your country. The Nazis took all the wonderful German symbols, traditional German symbols like the Iron Cross. Did you think that was a Nazi thing? Iron Cross was there a long time before the Germans got there. Cool sounding German units like the Death's Head. That's the name of a German unit. How sweet is that? The Death's Head, it has a skull and everything. Well, of course, the Nazis, hey, that's our thing. And part of how they rose was they told people, do you want this to stop? Because we will stop it. We're going to stop this filth in this country. And Chris said, well, they kind of did. Yeah, they did. I don't know that I would go about it quite that way. Maybe took that a little too far, but That's what they ran on. You push people far enough with this demonic filth, they will find a solution. We've had this talk many times before.
And now...
here's a headline.
By, go, you know the thing.
Headlines we didn't get to.
You know what's hilarious is the last time I talked about that, they printed a bunch of articles and tried to get me fired about it. Hey, that's how much I care, dorks. Try again. Headline, congressional offices to stop receiving CCP-run China Daily. It's a little amazing that we had to stop congressional offices from receiving a paper put out by the Chinese Communist Party. My word. Donald Trump slashes Department of Education. Nearly 50% of the staff is cut. Again, that is a real good start. Afghan opium prices soar after the poppy growing ban. It's wild. They finally stopped growing the poppy, or they finally banned growing the poppy right as soon as American generals were done making American troops guard the poppy fields. A Swiss politician was fined for buying pink water pistols online. What was Pete Buttigieg doing in Switzerland? Iran's Khamenei says he is not seeking a nuclear weapon. Yeah, and I'm not seeking a cheeseburger. All right, we will be back tomorrow for Ask Dr. Jesse Thursday. That's all.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty on demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
About something about a comedic tone.
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty on demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
As America marks its 250th anniversary, we're looking back at 2.5 centuries of rebellion and liberty through the eyes of the heroes who defended it.
The whole thing about this country is freedom. If we're not careful, we could lose that.
On Medal of Honor, Stories of Courage, we bring you the defining moments of valor that went above and beyond the call of duty. Listen to Medal of Honor on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.